high drop for Jackie Elka.
Goal! Oh, what a goal! What a goal! Yes! Unbelievable finish to the Merseyside Derby!
Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Toffee Blues podcast. On this episode, it's myself, Stephen, joined by Teddy. We're going to be talking about Everton's dramatic FA Cup victory over Tottenham Hotspur. Also, we're going to be previewing Everton's game against Fulham on Sunday. And, of course, we've got the special Toffee Blues lightning round at the end of the show, where I'm going to be quizzing Teddy on all things, on all parts of his life as an Everton supporter. So, hope you all enjoy it, and let's get straight into it. Today, and we're going to be talking about that dramatic Everton win over Tottenham Hotspur in the FA Cup last night. First of all, Teddy, what a game, honestly. Usually Everton like to come out second best in games like that, and they get shown on Sky for years and years to come. But not last night. Everton came out on top and got the win 5-4 after extra time. What did you make of it, if you can put it into words?
Yeah, nice quiet one. Bit tense, wasn't it? Like, bit cagey.
Our 1-0 predictions went straight out the window.
Are there any words for what transpired? The game was off its head. Like, from the first minute till the last minute of the extra time, honestly, the way I describe it is, it was just in like sections of games where at the beginning they came out on fire, Spurs. We just looked like we couldn't live with them. You know, we got the let off with the save from Olsen, and then they scored like not long after. Then we could be about 5-0 down after about half an hour because they're just running all over us. Then we decided, I said on Twitter, to activate instant kill, like, and just started lashing goals past them, and they're suddenly 3-1 down.
That's amazing. That.
Then the last action of this first half, Yerry Mina loves a goal contribution either way, and the in first time stoppage time, he kicks fresh air and it's 3-2, and then that was just half time. And obviously the second half swings back and forth a few times until obviously Bernard tears you apart again. He settles it, but I cannot believe the two clubs in the Premier League with two of the famed tacticians of world football in the dugout, Jose Mourinho and Carlo Ancelotti, just decided to bin all tactics off and have a shootout. I think Ben Godfrey said it was like a game of pro clubs on FIFA,
yeah,
wasn't it?
I was sat there thinking, this is like a game you'd see in FIFA, this. As soon as a goal went in, you absolutely knew the other team was going to go down the end and put it in the net. Such a strange game of football. Like, Gylfi Sigurdsson, I thought, was boss. Like, I can't believe it, because the first 15 minutes, I was fuming. The first 15 minutes, I thought, that's it. Everton have come and they've brought a knife to a gunfight again, and we're going to go out the FA Cup with a whimper here. And honestly, I can't believe. I was saying to my dad, can you imagine the odds of this finishing 3-1 at half-time after about 15 or 20 minutes? No, because it's just, it was unbelievable. The Dominic Calvert-Lewin goal, which Lloris probably should have done a bit better. It went through him, really, didn't it? The penalty, which I thought was a bit sceptical. I don't really see too much contact, but everyone's saying that he was tripped. And then that Richarlison goal, absolutely brilliant. Obviously, it's great to be in the next round. A couple of good teams. At the time we're recording this, we haven't we don't know who Everton are getting the next round. Who are you hoping to see in the next round, Teddy? Or Bournemouth or a Sheffield United, really?
Sheffield United, I don't want Bournemouth, forget it. They've got a good record against us. It's not like they're a lower league side who've been down for 10 years. They've only were a Premier League side last season.
Yeah, it's not like we're playing Sheffield Wednesday like we did in the last round before Tottenham. It's just it'd be a tough game against them. Not to forget, we actually lost at home to them last season in the last day. So, Bournemouth would be a tricky one for me.
Don't want Bournemouth because I think we're more likely to slip up against Bournemouth. What I want is Sheffield United. They haven't got the sign over us like Bournemouth have. So I think, and the rest of the teams are all good. So Sheffield United at home would be my ideal one.
So, like, we'll try and pick apart some of those goals because there were some absolute pearlers. Both of Richarlison's goals, which he really needed and made up, he got those two because me and Paul were talking about the... on the pre-match stream, talking about what Richarlison needs to do to get his form back. And he said, score the winning goal. He's that sort of player. He'll work off his last performance. And for a while, it looked like it was going to be the winning goal, didn't it? You know, that one at the Gladys Street, and then obviously Kane equalised. But beginning with, you know, Dominic Calvert-Lewin's goal, it was good to see Dom, you know, get one against Tottenham again, same as he did earlier on in the season. But what did you make of Everton's goals on the night? Because Tottenham fans will say, and will say as well, the defending was awful from both teams majority of the time. But the goals on show were strange ones as well to sort of coincide with the result, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it was weird. Like, some of the goals were great and some of them were just proper for both teams. And some of them were just like smelly goals, like just absolutely like, You look at the goals in the game, and the ones that stand out as really good goals are obviously Bernard's one because the assist from Sigurdsson, and I think Richarlison's second where he shoots across the keeper, and probably Harry Kane, the cross is really good. A lot of the others though are just like defensive headers or like misplaced passes that the other team picks up on. Like our first goal, Calvert-Lewin, he'd already just hit the post before that, so that, you know, Spurs knew it was coming. That Dom was in a goal scoring mood. He lashes his goal literally through Hugo Lloris. His hands are made of crisps.
I know.
Because I'd be going absolutely berserk if that was the other way around. If Harry Kane would have scored that past one, our keepers had just the second get Virginia in goal.
Yeah.
Obviously, Richarlison's is just a bit of good movement. He absolutely, you know, just glides past the defensive, lets him shoot. Good placement of the goal of the ball. Penalty's a penalty. Richarlison's second, although it is a good finish, it comes from a mistake from Tottenham. So, and the Bernard one, similar. They're just giving it away in midfield.
Mad how similar they were. Wasn't it really? We got round there twice. I know Sigurdsson's, the second one was a good assist from Sigurdsson, and it's sort of above him, isn't it? It's in the air, isn't it? But they were two similar goals, and you know, Hugo Lloris, he's quite highly rated. I expected them to save either one of those, to be honest.
It's a bit harsh, I think, on some of them because they're just such good finishers. I think his defenders have let them down there, but the goals we conceded, like, we're usually really good at defending corners, aren't they? But Mourinho all over that. He clearly had studied our set pieces and found a weak spot, and it was the front post of corners. Not so much the front post, the front of the 6-yard box. He obviously realised that Everton instruct their goalkeepers not to come and collect the ball, to have their defenders meet the ball. So if you can beat the defender's jump, it's live in the 6-yard box then, and then that's what happens, you know, especially with Sanchez's second goal. They win the flick on, and then Olsen saves it, but then Guilfi's asleep and Sanchez scores. But it was... I'm not even talking about the goal in chronological order because the game was just so off its head. It's hard to analyse it from minute one to the end because it's so much happened in it.
You fully expect that Carlo will look at those goals we conceded because there were some scrappy goals Tottenham scored just from the corners. Like, there was the cross into Harry Kane as well, which I think started with a corner, and about 10 seconds later, that was the goal. The Sanchez one to make it 3-3. And I think, did the first one come from a cross, or was it a corner, the first Sanchez goal?
First one was a corner. It was
missed the first goal. Went out the room thinking nothing's going to happen for the first, you know, few minutes. Come out and come back, and they were 1-0 up. And honestly, Terry, like, I felt like the world dropped. Like, my entire world just caved in at that point. I was so, so angry. And like everyone was talking on Twitter, like, this is typical Everton. This is the way we've started this game. But hopefully, you know, Carlo looks at the fact that we weren't really at it from corners, which usually we're really good at, aren't we? And, you know, find some sort of way to play against that once if any other teams try it. Because, yeah, we were wide open. I seen that someone took like a Stephen King novel and it was like the Spurs corner. It was like a horror novel. Because, yeah, we were pretty bad from them last night, and that wasn't what I expected. Talking to the, you know, in the pre-matches and everything, I said it'd be tough to score from corners for Tottenham because we were really good from set pieces this season. Me and Paul and James as well, we were talking about how, and Paul, looking back on Paul's like, you know, comments going into the game, he kept talking about how this would be a really scrappy game. It'll be the first team to score, will win it, and all stuff like that. But it's so good to see that, you know, like a game that, you know, was a high-scoring game that'll probably get bantered about as like a cup classic now. It's good to see Everton finally winning one, because we're used to coming out on the second best, because I can't remember if it was you said it as well, but I gave up with the extra time. I checked the score at half-time in extra time and seen we were 5-4 up, because I was too nervous. And I just expected Everton to really, you know, I think it was you said in the Toffee Blues chat, like, these have got Kane and Ali on the pitch and we've got Bernard and Coleman on the wings and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I am usually a glass half full type of like supporter anyway. I like to see but I'm not the only one either, but I couldn't see us winning that at about three separate points. When we went 1-0 down, I was like, we're going to get battered this game. You can see. Oh, yeah. And then obviously we go 3-1 up and it's like, bloody hell, how wrong I was. Then when they equalised for 3-3, I thought
we were going to let go of it there as well.
That's it, we're nothing. And then when we went 4-4, I was like, no. Like, we got to the point where, as you said then, I said it in the group chat, that we had Bernard on the left, who, let's be honest, he hadn't done much in his recent cameos, Bernard, has he? And we had a right back, a right forward, and Richarlison through the middle. So I just, and that's not to say we couldn't score with them, because obviously we did, but I just thought they've got Son and Kane and Dele Alli with a point to prove, and I just thought they've got too much quality. We're not defending well, clearly. and I don't see us scoring anymore. So I thought to myself, every time we were level, or I was like, we can't score again, and they can. That was my attitude. Yeah. And every time I was wrong, and I'm happy to be wrong. And it was, they're great when you win those games. Like, imagine we'd have been 3-1 up but lost 4-3. Imagine how angry you'd be today, going, what is wrong with this club? But if you win, you just forget all the goals you can see and just go, well, we scored more. And it's great. As you said, it's great to come out of one of these classic games that's going to get repeated on, like, you know, compilations for ages. Yeah. And you haven't lost, because I feel like on the Premier League years, every single top goal that was scored in the Premier League era was against us.
Yeah, you'll always look back, and there'll always be like the Alan Shearer goal for Newcastle, and there's always the Liverpool derby, which was 4-4-1, wasn't it? Which we should have won. Was that the one where we had the goal disallowed in the last minute?
I think so. Yeah, but I always think more like Lampard and Drogba, and they're always against us. Yeah, it's nice to come out on top of what was a crazy game.
Well, thankfully, that's not the case today. Everton beating Spurs 5-4. We can't like leave it without mentioning Tom Davis last night, because the lad seemed, and I used the phrase against Man United, he had a rocket shoved up a certain part of his body last night. The absolute pace he showed on the turn, and his willingness to get the ball forward for the first time in ages was just unbelievable. Like, I'm so made up for him, because I've been one of his biggest critics, and finally he's discovered a bit of form. So, yeah, I'm just absolutely made up. Teddy, you got anything to say about Tom Davis last night?
It was the best performance of his Everton career so far. He was just quality. He got better and better as the game went on, in the sense of, when we had to have the second half of extra time where we were defending the lead, I actually was sitting there thinking to Davies, give it to Tom Davies. And would you have said that at different?
No, definitely not. The last three games, he's just been a completely different player. I think he come on against Leeds, didn't he, towards the end? And he just seemed to be, he was milking the game out. He seemed to have a lot of, seemed to have a big game mentality when he come on. He had the right attitude, we're going to see this game out till the very end, and I'm going to keep hold of the ball, and you can put as many players on the ball as you want, and you're not going to get this ball off me. And then at Man United, he kept striving to get that equaliser, and we did end up doing it, and the whole team was good in the second half of that game. But yeah, no, he was rightly singled out for praise. And then last night, it's unbelievable. Like, it's good, so good to see all the fans that seem to be like back on him, you know, back enjoying watching him, and all the pictures of him in New York with Calvert-Lewin and all his like designer gear and all that. I love to see all that because it really does fan other fans' heads in.
You know what though, I'm he has an amazing game and he's deservedly man of the match, I think. But my first reaction isn't just to go, now I can go and the finger and say I told you so to all those fans I think a lot of the time the criticism's been unfair, but a lot of the time it's also been fair because he hasn't played well.
Yeah.
But you've got to approach it without I hate the word agenda. So you've got to approach it without a bias where you think he's crap and he's always going to be crap. Carlo's made players out of... I wanted Michael Keane gone. I thought... I started off thinking he was good, and then when people said he wasn't good, I was like, no, stick with him. Then I swung the other way and thought, no, I was wrong. He's not good enough.
Yeah.
Then after lockdown, Carlo had turned him into a player, and he's still a player now. I would love him to do that with more. He's done it with Calvert-Lewin, Holgate. Why not Davies? Like, if Davies can move on, because Calvert-Lewin used to get called a championship striker and all that. And now he's, you know, he's quality. He's a 20-goal-a-season striker in the making. Tom Davies, if he could have that season, that Holgate and Calvert-Lewin had last season, it'd be brilliant. It'd save us a lot of money. You know what I mean? Like, forget that he's scouts, forget that he's an Evertonian and all that. I just want good players, and if Carlo can make a homegrown player into a good player, if he can make Davies have the Calvert-Lewin, you know, transformation, why not? I want him to do that with loads of players. There's no player I'd love him to do it to Pickford. I'd love him to do it to. Or I'd rather not replace the players if you can make them good. And Davies seemed like he just didn't know what he was, didn't know what his best position was, didn't know where he played, and he seems to have this season settled on all those issues. We now know the way he plays in the under-23s for under-21 for England, he can play number six, and that's where we're going to play him. Yeah. And he's good there if you give him a run of games. So I want him to go from strength to strength. I want him to be next season. You've got to play Tom Davies, he's quality, because no one would have said that at the beginning of last season about Calvert-Lewin. And now imagine him being fit and not playing him.
Oh, I know. It'd be really controversial because he's been... Well, it's our top goal scorer. There's nothing more to say about it. With Davies, for me, I loved him when he first broke into the team. Thought he was brilliant. And when people started to sort of think he's not up to it, I stayed with him a bit longer. And then it was last season, really, he was doing me head in. He just didn't seem to have any sort of coaching or guidance. But last few games, I'm just made up because he's one of those players, you want to like him, but you can't like him if he's not doing the right things, because at the end of the day, we need to be winning games. Luckily, last few games, he's shown the form we know he can, and he's having his best games for Everton so far. So I'm just made up that we can talk about him again, that he should be in the starting 11. We can talk about how well he's been playing. So it's really good. I think we've covered all the bases there. With a game like that, there's so much we could talk about. We're going to be previewing Everton's Premier League match at home to Fulham on Sunday. Terry, first of all, are you confident going into this game?
Yeah, I suppose I am. You know, beat Tottenham, got a last gasp point at Old Trafford, beat Leeds. I'm not saying, oh yeah, we'll just walk over Fulham. It's, you know, they're a lot better than they have been here previously in the season, but getting players back from injury now. And I anticipate, or I expect, I demand an Everton win, because we've got to build on good results like the Old Trafford results and the Leeds win. But you can't drop points at home to Fulham if you want to do something in that scenario.
No, I think there is a level of confidence, but after that Newcastle game, which we all said was a banker, we lost that game 2-0. So, yeah, obviously very different teams. Fulham known this season for wanting to sort of play under Scott Parker and wanting to play a bit more football. That's got to play into our hands, surely, hasn't it? Because, you know, if they come to Goodison and they want to play, we'll allow it, because we've done it against teams that want to play. Tottenham in the FA Cup wanted to play with the ball. They wanted to score goals, and we ended up, you know, hitting them on the break, and we were 3-2 up at half time. But Tottenham haven't got that level of ability that like a Chelsea or an Arsenal have, who've come to Goodison and tried to play that way. But that's got to play into our hands, surely, hasn't it? That game plan.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to. It sounds arrogant, this, and I don't mean it to be arrogant, but you've got to look at the Fulham team and just go, we're a better team than them. So if they want to attack us, we'll take advantage of it. If they want to sit in and defend them, we'll break them down, because we've got better players. They can't boast the likes of James Rodriguez or Charleston or, you know, whoever in the attacking areas, and defensively, they're nowhere near as good as us. They can't boast some of the defenders we've got. So I don't think we should be, you know, hoping for them to play any particular way, because I think we should have the tools. If we want to go to Europe next season, we need to be beating Fulham at home. It's a dodgy season. You can't take any for granted. You know, really good teams have lost their own. You know, like Liverpool lost their own to Brighton. Like, it does happen. It's not to say it couldn't happen, but you want to be consolidating at this time. You want to be going into the Man City and Liverpool games off the back of a win, and there's no other way around that, I'm afraid. If we don't beat Fulham, then it's a bad result.
100% we do, because if we're going to be going for Europe, these aren't games you can afford to lose, especially against a team like Fulham, who come up and are trying to play the right way. You know, the teams against Newcastle with Steve Bruce, everyone knows Steve Bruce's, you know, way of playing. Hitting us on the counter-attack, they sort of played our way, away from home, Newcastle. And I think a lot of people will compare it to that, because Newcastle, you'd say, are a bit better than Fulham, but recently that's been, you know, we've had some pretty tough games, home and away recently, and Newcastle, the one we lost, you'd say, was the one that you'd expect us to win. But this has got to be one of the games that we have to be getting 3 points in. Obviously, we'll all say, I'd take a scrappy 1-0 win as long as we get 3 points. But this is the game we need to be showing a bit more flair. And I think we need to be winning this game by 3 or 4 if we're going to be, you know, we need to be like, okay, you know, big club Everton. We need to be polishing these teams off and putting them back on the shelf after 90 minutes, because a 1-0, obviously everyone takes it. It's 3 points. But I think we just need to be, I think we need to go right at them, and we need to play our way, but also, you know, show off a little bit in the way that we need to be getting goals all around the team.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think you've got to beat a team who's worse than you, but you know, you can't. No one is that much better than the other teams in this division where you can just say, yeah, we'll go 4 or 5 past them. I would be happy with a 1-0. I wouldn't think that's scrappy. If you execute the plan to be solid and, you know, take your chance when you get it, that's fine by me. The days are long gone where you can go there, you know, not since maybe, you know, Derby County, when they got a mid-table championship team in the Premier League. Like, are the days gone, those days where you can just, oh, well, not only should we be beating these, we should be beating these by a lot. Maybe if they'd have carried on the way they started at the beginning of the season, Fulham, they looked really that bad, then maybe you could possibly say that, but I don't agree with you there. I think a 1-0 with a late goal, as long as it's to a plan and a strategy, is just as good as a 4-0 win. It doesn't work out like that, because we've been tested at times this season by some really, like West Brom put two past us. So this is a league that's full of teams who've got a lot of, you know, energy, high fitness and a lot of work rate, and that's where we come unstuck against Newcastle. We need to match the work rate, because if we don't, we won't be winning at all.
Yeah, and Brighton put two past us as well. That game feels like a lifetime ago now, that back in October. But I just think in a game like this, I think every game in the Premier League's tough, but this is the game I expect if Everton to go on and just win convincingly. You know, maybe not, as you said there, Teddy, by a few goals, but just win convincingly as in having the strategy playing to it and being better than them for 90 minutes, because, you know, we might win 1-0 or 2-0 or 1-1, or we might not even win at all. But if we go out and we execute a plan and we're better than them, that's all I want to see. I want to see us be better than them from minute 1 to minute 90. Obviously, Fulham, I haven't seen too much of Fulham this season. I remember we beat them away at Craven Cottage. But what have you made of Fulham this season, Teddy? Because Scott Parker's come up. It's been a rocky at times for them this season. But have you watched enough of them to really have an opinion? Because I know I haven't. Just it's interesting to you know, talk about these other teams sometimes.
They're going to go down. I think the bottom three now is the bottom three, done and dusted. I don't think any of the three were there, Sheffield United, Fulham and West Brom, don't think any of them are going to get out of it. But Fulham seem like they've got, I don't know, they seem like they've got more in them than the other two. Like when you remember that result they got against Liverpool, they're not dead and buried. You can just, you know, sleep on them. They've got players who can, you know, on the right day can hurt you. We've been, you know, hurt by the likes of Mitrovic before. And, you know, I know everyone's going to say this, and it's probably not going to happen because everyone's saying it, but Adam Ola-Luchman, he'll turn up eventually against Everton, and it might be this one. So they've got some decent players, but I just don't think they're a good enough team to stay up. As bad as I thought they were going to be, the opening day against Arsenal, they were awful. They looked like they wouldn't win a single game all season if they carried on like that. But they have improved from there. So, yeah, they're going to go down, but they're not as bad as I thought they'd be.
Yeah, I think ability-wise, they're the best of them three, West Brom, Sheffield United and themselves. But I think the gaps they leave, you know, I know they've got some decent standout players in there. Harrison Reed's been good at times this season. As you mentioned, Adam Ola-Luchman as well. So, you know, maybe I think there is opportunities for us at home to prove ourselves that we can score goals. But we need to start the game well. That's going to be the thing, because with Everton this season, it's starting halves. At times, that's been our weak point. Tottenham scored after 4 minutes the other night. There's probably Leeds scored at the beginning of the second half at Elland Road. So I think we need to start both halves well. We need to assert some dominance over them. With regards to team news, any changes? Obviously, there are going to be changes from the Tottenham game, but what changes would you like to see? Would you like to see certain players come back in, and, you know, how should we sort of line up, do you think?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, some of the obvious ones aren't as obvious now. Like, you can't drop, I don't think Davies or Decore going anywhere, and rightfully so, but then drop Sigurdsson for Allen or James, like some people would, but then others might not, because he contributed to a lot of the goals. I think it'll just come down to fitness. I don't think there'll be a tactical change. I think you might see Allen, you might see Andre Gomez, you know, James. One we'll definitely see is that, you know, Calvert-Lewin. I don't know what they do with that. It seems like obvious that they'll just put Josh King in, but is he up to speed yet? They might put Richarlison down the middle and give Bernard the left-hand side after his performance the other day, or put Iwobi on the left and just put James on the right like he used to be. I think we'll see a few changes, because we went so long in this game and it was so frantic and had so much, you know, so much basketball-type football running one end of the pitch to the other. I think you'll probably see heavy rotation in this. Maybe not at the defensive side of things. I think you'll probably see a lot of players, but I think the midfield, and the attack, you might see, you know, maybe even three or four changes.
Yeah, we need. I think we need changes, especially the fact that we've played 120 minutes against Tottenham, City coming up, and also the Derby. There's games to think about there. I'd like to see, obviously, we know Calvert-Lewin's going to get a rest. That's going to be a relief. I'd like to see Richarlison through the middle again, because on the left, he's not been playing his best football. And when he moved to the middle against Spurs, he did really well. Iwobi, I'd like to see as well, because it sounds strange because I've been one of his biggest critics, but I've actually enjoyed watching Iwobi this season. I think he offers quite a lot down that right-hand side, especially when... I think he's a bit better when Holgate's there as well, because, you know, Holgate's a bit better. Obviously, Seamus Coleman's been a bit iffy this season, you know, with his pace maybe getting caught out at times. So, be good to see Iwobi there when he's not going to do as much tracking back. James Rodriguez, is he going to save him for City? Is he going to play him against Fulham? We're not sure. Alan should be back up to full fitness now, but it wouldn't surprise me if he left him out for another game. You know, with how well Davis played, playing him in the number six. Sigurdsson as well had a really good performance. And I think we're lucky now, Teddy, that we're at that point where Carlo's got a player for the positions. And if there's a player that can't play, he's got another player that comes in, which with our squad depth, you wouldn't expect. But, you know, he's got Josh King to come in across all the front lines. We know we can play on the wing. We've got, if Rodriguez isn't fit, he drops Sigurdsson in. And, you know, that would have struck fear into the hearts of Evertonians last season. But been playing pretty well so far. We've won our, you know, we won last night against Tottenham. Got a draw at United. And obviously the win at Leeds without Allen, you know, with Gomez or Davis coming into the team. Decore's been a monster. He's absolutely undroppable. And I think he'll play the majority of seasons. There's been some great tweets about Decore. Seen one saying, Decore still lives in Watford and runs home after the game. Another one about after Tottenham, he was sat in the dressing room asking if Fulham have turned up yet. So obviously there's Ben Godfrey there as well. So I don't know. There's enough squad rotation to go around, which for a team with not much squad depth is really promising for me. Any Fulham players you think we need to look out for? Because you mentioned Mola Luchman there. Had a pretty up and down time at Everton. You know, if I remember a lot of fans got behind him. I was one of those. I wanted to see a bit more of him. The managers who he played under didn't like him as much. I think Allardyce played him a little bit. Koeman played him a little bit. I think Koeman signed him. And Silva just did not favour him at all. So, what any Fulham players you think we really need to be out on the look for?
Honestly, it's an obvious one with Mitrovic. He's got a good record against us, and he's a big brute of a player. And we always, you know, traditionally, you know, hopefully it's changing, but we traditionally struggle against those big presence players. I'm not saying he'll, you know, score loads of goals past us, but he'll cause us problems if he starts, I think.
Yeah, there's been a couple this season when I have watched Fulham that I've quite fancied the look of. Harrison Reid seems to be a tricky little player in midfield. Luchman as well, as long as he doesn't get a penalty. I'm probably cursing my words here, but as long as he doesn't get a penalty, he should be...
He won't be on the penalty if he gets one, mate. No. He'll never go on a penalty ever again.
There's players like Cavalero, don't know if they're fit. Joe Bryan, if he starts at fullback. I remember he was linked with Everton when he was back at Bristol City, I think under Martinez. So, you know, they've got a couple of players that can hurt us. We know they'll set up in a they'll be pretty organised. They'll know their way of playing when they come in. And I think going back to Fulham, we were expecting them to get relegated, I don't think it's the end of Scott Parker's time there, because I think if they're going to improve, I think they need to stick with Parker, because I think he has showed a bit of promise this season as a manager, and you've got to remember he's very, very young for a manager anyway. Teddy, finally, can I trouble you for the score prediction?
Go with 2-0.
I'll go with 3-1. Yeah. I'll say 3-1, because I think we'll score goals, but I can't see us after the other night. I'd be a bit optimistic saying that I think we keep a clean sheet, but we've been good, you know, being pretty good defensively this season, apart from obviously the four goals we let in the other night. But yeah, hope you have enjoyed it. All right, that brings us nicely to the end of the show. Yeah, just joined by Teddy now. Me and Teddy left to do all the cleaning up. And I'm going to be going through a lightning round. Not really a lightning round, a bit slower than that. But I'm going to be asking Teddy some Everton-related questions, and he's going to be giving his answers. And yeah, we're going to get straight into it, mate. So the first question we've got, Teddy, what was your first Everton game?
First Everton game was in 2003, the pre-season. I was away at Crewe Alexandra, and it was one of those things, one of those nights. Moyes used to do this quite a lot. It's not, he didn't invent it, other teams do it, but we haven't done it for a long time. I don't think we have anyway. We had split the squad in two and have two friendlies on the same night. I was at the Crewe Alexandra one, and I think there was another one away at Rotherham. It wasn't the best of games. I think we lost. It was so long ago, I can't remember the result, but I just remember Scott Gemmell being terrible on the night.
Yeah, I can't remember them. Because my first Everton game was toward, sort of in the middle of Moyes' reign, so can't remember the early Moyes days, but yeah, it sounds like a dull one, that, Teddy. Mm. First Everton kit?
No surprise, my first Everton kit was the kit for that season. So it was Moyes' second full season, the season we finished 17th, unfortunately, but it was the home kit with Kajan as the sponsor, and if you recall, it had like a glittered effect inside the badge. The only time I've ever seen us do that.
Yeah.
Everton Crest had like a sort of like static on a television, like that sort of effect in it. I'd never seen us do it since or before that. And yeah, Kajan the front. Good kit. It wasn't a good kit in spite of today, but it was all right at the time. I'd really liked it.
And first name you had on a kit?
It was that kit, and it was Thomas Radzinski. I was trying to go against the grain. It was the season everyone had Wayne Rooney, which, you know, to be expected after he'd broke through properly and the year before, and you know, he played in the England team and he was the superstar at Everton. But I was tried to be a bit of a hipster in my teenage self. I tried to be a bit of a hipster and I went for another player, and I would have probably got McFadden if he'd just been signed when I got the name on the kit, because I liked McFadden a lot of the time as well. But Radzinski was so fast, and he scored in the first home game of the season, I think, ironically, against Fulham. So I just thought, yeah, he's for me. And obviously, friends of the Toffee Blues as well, done an interview with us.
Yeah, make sure you go check that on our YouTube channel if you haven't already. Favourite season, Teddy?
Hopefully it'll be this one. It's going quite well, isn't it? But I think I'd have to go for the first Martinez season. I just felt like anything was possible at that time. David Moyes did a fantastic job at Everton, but I'd got a little bit, you know, bored and stale. I felt, for me, he'd got a little bit stale around that time. I thought a change would be good. And then when Roberto came in, and he, you know, we all look back and we all remember what he was like when we were winning games, or everywhere that came out of his mouth was golden. You know, like, oh, he's going to play the Barcelona way, and he's going to go for the title, but he's going to do it in an organic way and not just buy loads of players. And he's going to get, you know, sleeping pods built at Finch Farm so he can do everything like, you know, La Masia. And it was just, I ate all of that up. And it's easy to, when you get 74 points in a season, 72 points, whatever it was, record points all for a Premier League season for Everton. And I was in love with that team. I was in love with Martin at the time. And it was still, as a time capsule, not the whole, you know, what Apple came after obviously wasn't great, but that season was great.
I can talk about that season. But you know what, Teddy? We should probably do an episode just talking about that season, because if they should make that season into a film, honestly, just that season with, like, we could probably do it as well. Casting each player as an actor for that season with, like, they'd probably, like Bruce Willis with a spray tan, Roberto Martinez and stuff like that. And it's mad because I remember, it was such a strange season because I was used to David Moyes every single year. And then all of a sudden, Martinez come in. The pitch got done up, didn't it? Remember, he installed a brand new pitch at Goodison during the summer. We swapped and... we were still with Nike then, weren't we? The only thing
that ruins that season is that stupid badge.
Yeah, the stupid badge. I remember I was in my second year of high school during that season, and there was the feeling of, oh my god, we're going to challenge everyone for this and that. I remember being absolutely embarrassed because it was the first time being an Evertonian sort of holds any weight for me. And I remember going into school the day after we got beat 4-0 by Liverpool. It was one of the worst days of my life. I remember being absolutely embarrassed to show my face. And it's the first time I was ever embarrassed as an Evertonian, to go into school and stuff like that. It was bad. There's so much about that season you can talk about. There's the Arsenal away cup game. There's all kinds to talk about. It was a mad season that. Definitely the most eventful we've seen in recent years. Favourite Everton game of all time?
So I go back and forth on this. A close second place is the Carsley Derby, just because it was the first derby that I was at that we won. I'd been at other derbies previously, but we hadn't won them. And I was in school at the time, and just to go into school.
Yeah, I know how that feels. For me, it was the... For me, it was the Arteta one, the Arteta and Cahill 2-0 at Goodison one. And I remember I had quite a few Everton mates in school at that point. I was in my second to last year of primary school. I was about 9 or 10 at the time. And I remember we all gone, oh, do you know what? Let's all meet up before school. Let's all walk into school. And we'll all walk in. We walked in that scene in Reservoir Dogs, on the Monday after the game, where they're all walking in the suits, and it was boom, 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 boom. And we just, it was brilliant that. Where winning your first derby is something else. So yeah.
Well, that was only the second. That was my second. The winner, my favourite game long term, is that Martinez season when we beat Arsenal 3-0 at home.
We just
battered them. And that one, the reason that's my favourite is not even the game itself. I've seen games where we've been more dominant. I've seen games that were more important. But we were on a great run of form. We, coming into the run into the end of the season. And it was just we're going to get in the Champions League. We're too good. The belief in that team. And then we played Arsenal and battered them. It could have been 10-0. We absolutely rinsed them. Every player was just great that day. So, there's been bigger games. There's been, other great performances. So other people answering this question might go to Man United semi-final or another derby win or something like that. But that, for me, I felt that day when that match finished, I was like, we've turned the corner. We're actually going to make that step now into that Champions League position, what we'd always wanted to do under Moyes, but couldn't do it. I thought, we've done it now. We've got a different manager, got goal scoring in Lukaku. Obviously, what happened next didn't quite go according to the scripts, but it was a great game.
Yeah, I would love to see that. We'll have to speak to Toffee Blues John about it, because we do need to do an episode, just an hour long episode of the podcast, talking about that season, favourite moments and all that. And then if we were to do it as a film, we should do an actor for each role and just, write an actor in for each role for that team, because that'd be an amazing comedy. I don't know if it'd be a comedy film or a drama film. That'd be weird. favourite Everton goal?
This one will be quite common. The Dan Gosling winner.
Yeah.
In the, an FA Cup derby, extra time, right at the end. And it had come off the back of, Benitez having a little strop a few weeks before when we played Liverpool, and he called us a small club, and he was preparing for penalties. So he called us a small club because we were defensive against them, in his words, in the league game. And then he was setting up towards the end of the game to try and see the game out and get to penalties. Like, wasn't that a small club thing to do a few weeks ago? Just the hypocrisy of the man. Did I say that right? Anyway, he's
hypocrisy.
A hypocrisy.
Yeah, the hypocrisy.
That's it. I knew when I said it the second time, I still got it wrong. The hypocrisy of that big knobhead. Just, I loved it. It was the fact that it just went so against, you know, against him. It wasn't even, you know, it's good to score a winner against Liverpool in any circumstances, but to throw that down his throat was great.
That was brilliant. That's probably my favourite Everton season, that 08-09. And if you go back in the episodes in the podcast, me and Teddy have done one of these where he was asking me the questions. And I think that was my one, because it was my first season. And I must have seen the last few months of it, because I think it was in February, wasn't it? I think it might have been this round, what we're talking about for Tottenham here. At Goodison under the lights. And it was the first Everton goal I can remember, because I was 7, just about to turn 8. And I remember my dad just throwing me up in the air when the goal went in. I didn't have a clue what was going on. I can pinpoint that as the moment I became an Evertonian, because I just remember, like, the look in my dad's face. You could tell for weeks he'd been thinking about this match, and you could tell he, like, all of the emotion just came out of him in one bit. And he hadn't seen this in age. I remember him throwing me up right, and like my head must have nearly touched the ceiling. It was unbelievable. Just the way he like falls back and knocks it in. The kit was pretty good, even that. Well, I'm saying that with my 08-09 tinted specs on, because I loved that season. The ITV going off, the shot of the fans ragging each other around the Gladys Street afterwards. Yeah, that's an amazing moment. That's unbelievable. And like, if there was ever like it sounds cliche, but if there's ever a magical Goodison Park moment, that's it for me. That's what I put it down as. Yeah. Favorite Everton kit?
Well, it's a tough one. This there is a long-standing favorite of mine, but this season's is getting there. You know, I like this season's kit a lot, like an awful lot. But I think to just nudge it for me, I'm just checking the year now. Yeah, 2014, 2015, it'll stick out in your mind because
it was the navy socks as well.
Yes, anyone who's listened to these podcasts before with kits I mentioned will know I'm obsessed with this kit, or anyone who follows me on Twitter. The navy socks, the new badge, the sort of navy detailing, I love that kit. That is my favourite Everton kit.
Smartest Everton kit of all time. It's like this season's kit is like a nicely cut Hugo Boss suit, but that 14-15 kit was a tuxedo. Like, you could wear that kit to a gala dinner. That's how smart that kit was, just with the little piping and the buttons coming up, and like the nice, it had like a sort of nice pattern, didn't it? Like, to touch it was a nice material. The blue socks in honor, I think it was honor of Dixie Dean sort of.
I don't know whether it was a throwback to the 95 kit.
I always thought it was a throwback to like that era, like the 1930s or something, when Everton used to wear blue, like navy blue socks or something. I always thought that was what it was. Do you remember the advert for it? The advert where it went, fabric since like whatever, and it was Duncan Ferguson, and he went, fabric since 1995 or something like that.
Something like that, because it was the first season back at Umbro, and Umbro, for me, every year after this, were crap. But for this season...
say it, Teddy, say it louder for the people in the back, because it's the only nice Umbro kit Everton have made.
That season, they just literally used all their good energy for Everton. The three kits we Koeman's, had that season.
Yeah, Koeman's 16-17 kit. I like that one, like the silky one with the crew neck. I like that one. But yeah,
that wasn't bad, but it wasn't one of the better ones. But this season, they used all of their good, like their good points on Everton kits, because the third kit was good. But that kit was amazing. And just touching on what Paul said on the live stream the other night, would you want to win a cup in your away kit? I was actually like buzzing this season, because if you remember, we were absolutely mustard in Europe. We were battering everyone. We would
Young boys away and all that.
Yeah, we were, and I thought to myself, we're going to win this Europa League or UEFA Cup, I'm not sure which one it was then, but we're going to win our second European trophy ever, and we're going to have the nicest kit ever on the pictures. And I was thinking, there's nothing better than that. And I was building myself up, and then obviously Martinez decided to play Alcaraz against Kiev, and that was that. But it was such a good kit, that.
Yeah, but this Europa League campaign was just something else. We made Kevin De Bruyne look like Ali Dyer in that game. He was awful against us.
We've got a nice kit this season. I think this season's home kit is my close second, but you can't top that that Navy Sox kit. It's amazing.
Navy Sox kit with the black away kit as well, which we wore.
Yeah, The white and purple as well.
And the white and purple away at Burnley. We won 3-1. It's weird. It's like, it feels like if that 13-14 season was a film, it'd probably be like Spider-Man Homecoming, and then Spider-Man Far From Home would be the next one. It was a bit more exuberant. It was a bit different in places.
Stop trying to make seasons into films. They're not all films.
I do think we need to pitch it, to be honest. Like, that 13-14 season as a film would be brilliant.
That 17-18 season with Alan Cooper was a horror film.
Blumhouse Productions. Allardyce and Koeman. See, what would that be called? That'd just be called the Cuco Martina season.
Oh,
it'd strike fear into the hearts of the people in the cinema as soon as they heard it. Least favourite Everton player?
Probably Morgan Schneiderlin, you know. Couldn't stand him at the end.
Oh, yeah. I think there was a thread about him on Twitter the other day, and it was like, he was all right for 6 months, and he was just awful. The amount of red cards he got, he never seemed to look bothered. He was
absolute charlatan of a player. He strolled about the pitch like he was someone. He was terrible. He didn't care. He was crap to boot. It wasn't like he was quality and we were beneath him. But that's the thing as well. When he left, he said that he wanted to go to Everton and, you know, rejig himself, and then end up back at a team like Man United. So he thought that Everton were going to be a stepping stone for him to go back into a top Champions League club. It's like, mate, you weren't good enough for Everton. That's why you got, you were shuffled out the door for next to no money at the end of your contract, and no one could stand you. He genuinely thought that he was going to come in and use us as a little bit of a vehicle to get back to the top. It's like, mate, you're shit. I'm sorry. Yeah. Walking, strolling around the pitch while players fly past them. There's been worse players than him, but there hasn't been many with as bad an attitude.
Did you see that picture on Twitter a couple of days ago of that game at the Emirates a couple of seasons ago, 17-18, where Mangala played? And it was a picture of just the team. And we'll have to find it, and I'll see if I can find it and read it.
Game Allardyce said afterwards. He asked why he's... He was either asked why he didn't play Luchman or why he let him go out on loan. And he said, well, I've got Theo Walcott, who costs £20 million, and Yannick Bolasie, who costs £30 million. He's throwing the price tag of players in as the justification for not playing a better player.
Oh, my God. He was... Oh, it was such a strange... Like, yeah. We've just bespoke about that 17-18 season. It was just awful. And I'd say Schneiderlin's probably up there for me. I don't know if I'd say he's my least favourite player. I don't know who my least favourite player is, but you talking then about Schneiderlin's unlocked some horrible memories, Terry.
Suppose you could say Ashley Williams, Fabian Delph.
Oh, it's mad that one you've just said is still at the club.
No, but he's not my least favourite, just by virtue of others being worse than him, but he'd be on the list, but that way.
Yeah, he was pretty bad. I can't find that team anywhere. I'll have to find it. Next, yeah, awful. Next question was, if I can get it back up. Favorite Everton manager?
David Unsworth. No, it's Carlo Ancelotti. What can you say? The man is just class. He oozes class. He's a winner, serial winner. He's just everything I want in my Everton manager. And he loves Crosby as well, so fair play. Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't love Crosby? And the last question is your favourite Goodison memory?
Quite a few. Obviously, I've named a couple. The you know, Carsley Derby was great. But I think for this, just because I remember coming out the ground, singing in the streets and saying that, people know immediately what the game is. The 1-0 win over Manchester United with Duncan Ferguson's diving header. This season we finished fourth. Unbelievable.
Didn't we finish fourth to minus one goal difference?
Yeah, something like that. But that gets thrown about. Like, oh, we must have been a terrible defensive team. No, that's because, like, with four games left, we lost 7-0 to Arsenal. Not great, but the goal difference was only minus due to a freak high defeat. Like, doesn't tell the full story. If we say we lose that game to Arsenal 1-0, we'd have had like a plus 5-6 goal difference. You know what I mean? Like, it's not as simple as that.
I always thought that was the season before.
I don't think so. I think it was the season.
Was that not the season they went invincible?
Man United.
Yeah, because we finished fourth in 2004-05.
Yeah.
And Arsenal went invincible in 2003-04.
But the header was against Man United, not Arsenal.
No, I know, but you're saying we lost 7-0, and that's why the goal difference was so bad.
To Arsenal, yeah.
Yeah, so if we finished fourth with a minus one goal difference. The season that Ferguson scored the header.
Yeah.
If we then went on to lose 7-0 to Arsenal, that would mean we had a minus one goal difference. But I'm sure that was the season before we lost 7-0 to Arsenal. Because we played them in the first game of that season at home.
Yeah, but it was away when we lost 7-0 to Arsenal.
I'm gonna have to find this because I want to know. Because
I'm changing my very brief. We'll look
anyway, so yeah, favourite Goodison memory, Ferguson.
I'm changing it from that. It's the same season. It's not that goal. That's 1.5. That is my favourite memory is the lap of honour at the end of that season when we finished fourth. That was just unbelievable. The sun was out. We'd finished fourth. The players going down the pitch. I was standing on my seat in the ground. You know, like, just imagine the jubilation, the celebration at Goodison when we'd finished fourth in the Premier League after a roller coaster of a season. So that's my favourite Goodison memory, the lap of honour in the 2004-05 season.
Teddy, you're actually right. It was that season that you've just said.
Awesome, right?
I can't believe that. How did the team finish fourth and get beat 7-0 in the same season? Mind you, Liverpool are probably going to do it 7-2 this season, aren't they?
Yeah. Just one of those results, mate. We were a good team. Everyone uses that. Like, oh, they finished with a minus goal difference. Like, yeah, but that's sort of because of one game. A freak game and a terrible game. But Arsenal back then were the Arsenal that people still pretend they are now.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for listening. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thanks to Teddy for joining me also. Obviously, I think you follow it on Spotify. I'm not sure. Yeah, make sure you stay tuned for the next episode of the podcast. Hopefully me and Teddy can do this again. The lightning rounds are pretty fun ones to do. And yeah, hope you've enjoyed it and we'll see you in the next one. Oh, sorry, we need a song, don't we?
Oh, do we?
Yeah, we need a song, just remembered. False alarm. I'm gonna go for. Oh God. I'll go.
I'll do one if you want.
Yeah, go on. You've got one, Teddy. You put me on the spot there.
I'm just looking at the last thing played in my playlist, and for anyone who's not into my type of music, the name of the band doesn't necessarily equal the way this song sounds, but the song is "Peace Sells" by Megadeth.
Peace Sells by Megadeth. Yeah, that's going to be what plays us out. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, as I said, stay tuned for the next episode of the podcast. Follow it on Spotify and you'll get every single episode every single time it comes out. Hope you've enjoyed it. And again, thanks to Teddy for joining me. As Teddy would say, the dulcet tones of Megadeth will be playing us out for this episode. Hope you've enjoyed it and we'll see you in the next one. I don't be mine.
is this garbage you're watching?
I want to watch the news.
Are you making headway at least?
This is the news.